Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm so glad you're here. This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. I am so excited for this episode. We have 5 of Appalachia's creepiest true hauntings, well-documented paranormal encounters, and the last case is one that no one, not even the local sheriff's department, has ever been able to explain. Our first story, Spearfinger. One of the most terrifying hiking trails in the United States is tucked deep within the Appalachian Mountains of Tennessee, called the Norton Creek Trail. About 20 to 30 minutes away from Gatlinburg, this area, deep within the Smoky Mountains, holds one of the highest concentrations of old pioneer cemeteries and abandoned homesteads. Over the years, this trail has developed quite a reputation. People report seeing ghostly apparitions, strange glowing orbs drifting between the trees, hearing footsteps when no one is out there. And in some cases, people who enter this trail never come back out. We gotta talk about one of the scariest legends of something known as Spearfinger. There's a legend passed down through old Cherokee folklore. She's described as a towering figure with skin hard as stone and a long, razor-sharp finger like a spear. But what makes her truly terrifying is not how she looks, it's what she can become. Because Spearfinger is said to be a master of deception, a shapeshifter. She can appear as anyone, a friend, a family member, someone you trust. Meaning she could be walking right behind you on this trail and you have no idea. She gets close to her victims, gains their trust, and then without warning, drives her sharpened finger straight into them. Silent, quick, and deadly. Many people just dismiss this as an old legend, but many believe she's up in those mountains. Today, people who hike this area say they hear things. Voices carry in the wind, footsteps behind them when no one is there. And sometimes, they get that feeling that they're not alone. One story tells of a young girl who grew up deep in the Appalachian Mountains, living in a small house with her brothers and sisters. One evening, their father had to leave for work, and they asked their aunt to stay with them for a few days. Everything was normal at first, until one night, everything changed. As they were inside that evening, the dog started growling. It felt like someone was outside the house, just outside the door. The aunt immediately went quiet and then said, "Come on, we need to hide." She gathered up the children, led them up to the attic, and as they're up there, they're hiding and can see down into the house through a small little crack. They watch as the front door slowly opens. In walks a little old lady. She enters the house, then eerily calls out, "Come on, kids. I've got gifts for you. Come on out." The kids kind of turn to their aunt and are like, "Should we go down? Can we?" It's just a little old lady, but the aunt says no. Just stay there. She continues to call out for them. "Come on, kids. It's okay. You can come out." They stay completely still. Then they see it. A long, spear-shaped finger shoots up through the crack and begins moving around the room. The kids jump back, trying to avoid being sliced by her finger. Spearfinger eventually left. But to this day, this woman and her siblings are still afraid of those woods. I can tell you right now, if I was in those woods and I saw a witchy woman with one big long finger, I would be crying and running. Running and crying. Very creepy. Very scary. Our next story. We got to talk about the Phantom Hiker. There is something really strange that's been going on in Appalachia for a long time now. This ghost story takes us high to Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina. Grandfather Mountain is one of the most striking and memorable peaks in the region. Its cliffs, trails, and views draw on hikers from all over. A place known for its breathtaking views and an eerie legend that has lingered for decades. People hiking this mountain report seeing the same man. He looks just like anyone else, and people don't realize he's a ghost until it's too late. Ask locals about the Phantom Hiker, and they will say he is very real. This has been going on for decades. Hikers over the years have reported seeing a man along the pass. Someone who, at first glance, doesn't seem out of place. He appears to be an older man, rugged, with a full beard. He has kind of a calm, easy presence, but his clothing stands out. He appears to be wearing workman's clothes that look like they belong to another time, possibly the mid-1900s. He carries a simple walking stick in an old canvas pack. He moves steadily along the trail as if he's done it countless times before, but something about him doesn't feel right. He doesn't speak, he never acknowledges anyone, doesn't seem to notice when people pass him. He simply keeps walking, often at a pace that's just a little too fast. Most people don't realize anything is wrong until it's already happened. They'll watch him move ahead on the trail, only for him to suddenly disappear, without a trace, just gone. Many who have encountered him say it happens at dusk when the light fades and the mountains begin to grow quiet. In those in-between moments, when day turns to night, that's when he's often seen. So, who is the phantom hiker? Some believe he was once a hiker who became lost on the mountain, unable to find his way back out, his story ending somewhere deep in the wilderness. Others think something different, that he wasn't lost at all, but just deeply connected to those mountains. So even in death, he never left. So much so that he still walks those trails every day. The story was sent in by someone who had an encounter on Grandfather Mountain just a few years ago. He said he and his girlfriend had decided to do a late afternoon hike. Nothing too intense, just a simple trail to catch the sunset. They started a little later than planned, and by the time they were heading back down, the light was already starting to fade. He mentioned how quiet it got, but not peaceful quiet, like heavy, pressurized silence that you feel in the woods sometimes. About halfway down the trail, they said they noticed a man ahead of them. Seemed totally normal, just an older guy hiking alone. He had a beard, a walking stick, and his old canvas backpack slung over his shoulder. His clothes look worn, not dirty exactly, just really dated. Like something you wouldn't really expect to see someone hiking in nowadays. But what stood out to them was how fast he was moving. Not running, but walking with this very steady, almost unnatural pace. He never stumbled, never slowed down, even on rough parts of the trail. They tried to catch up a little, just naturally walking in the same direction, but no matter how much ground they covered, they never got closer to him. And then his girlfriend said something that made him stop. She asked, "Why hasn't he made a sound?" And that's when he realized they couldn't hear his footsteps at all. No crunching leaves, no shifting rocks, but they could hear their own clear as day. He said they both kind of started getting this really weird feeling. Then the man reached a bend in the trail, one they were very familiar with, and turned out of sight. And this is where it gets very strange. They reached the same bend maybe 5 or 10 seconds later, and he was gone. Disappeared. They looked around. There was really nowhere to hide, no side trails, no drop-offs. It was just a straight path ahead, and the old man was nowhere to be found. They even jogged a little further down, thinking maybe he picked up speed or stepped off the trail for a second, but no one was there. That's when his girlfriend grabbed his arm and said, "Let's just go." And as they turned to keep walking, he said they felt something behind them. They didn't hear sound or movement, just that feeling like someone was right there. He turns around and just for a second, he swears he saw the man again, but this time, he wasn't walking away. He was standing still further back on the trail facing them. And even though it was getting dark, he said he could tell. The man wasn't looking at them. It was like he was looking through them. They didn't wait to see anything else. They made it back to the car in silence, both of them too unsettled to even talk about it until they were off that mountain. Sure enough, later that night, they looked it up online, trying to find anything they could to explain what they saw. And that's when they came across the stories of the phantom hiker of Grandfather Mountain. That same description, that same behavior. Next up, the woman of Old Stone Church. Moving on to a witchy tale. This next story takes us to Old Stone Church in Clemson, South Carolina, tucked away at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Locals say there's a grave here that is unlike any grave in the entire world. Nothing will grow on it. No grass, no weeds, just bare lifeless ground as if the earth itself refuses to touch it. The same grave has reportedly been struck by lightning numerous times. Over and over again, so many times that the stone itself is cracked and broken, right where the name should be. As if something doesn't want her name remembered or spoken. But ask locals and they'll tell you they know exactly whose grave this is. They say it's a woman named Eliza Huger. Over the years, walls have been built around her grave, then rebuilt again after being damaged by repeated lightning strikes. And there's local superstition tied to it. If you visit, you can leave a coin on her grave for good luck. But whatever you do, don't take one. Because those who have regret it, supposedly. Eliza Huger is often referred to as the Queen Witch of Clemson, a name that stuck with her long after death. Very little is known about her real life, but she is legendary. Some say she was born into a wealthy family in Charleston, but never quite lived up to the life expected of her. Eventually, she made her way to New Orleans, where stories describe her as rebellious, unpredictable, and even dangerous. According to one version of the tale, her family had finally had enough. Two of her brothers went to bring her home, and when they found her, story goes that they discovered her in a brothel. And in a moment of rage and shame, they shot and killed her. They brought her body back to South Carolina, but she was never truly welcomed home. Instead, she was buried far away, upstate. And those brick walls built around her grave? Some believe they weren't just for protection from the elements, but to keep something in. There have been some pretty eerie stories about this grave over the years. And this story in particular really spooks me. The story was shared by a group of friends who visited Old Stone Church Cemetery in Clemson on Halloween night. But what makes the story different is that it didn't start that night, it started a year earlier. This group of friends had gone out to the cemetery the previous Halloween just for fun. Same kind of thing, laughing, filming, trying to scare each other. They found the grave, walked around a bit, and left without anything happening. At least, that's what they thought. Not long after that Halloween night, the dream started. At first, it was just one of them, then another, then all of them. Each of them separately started having dreams about the same woman. They didn't talk about it right away, not until one night it came up casually. And they realized they were all describing the same thing, a woman standing at the edge of the trees, long hair, her face is hidden, but she's watching. And in every dream, she never moved closer, she just stood there waiting. Then one of them suggests something. Well, what if we go back? Uh-oh. Same place, same night, exactly 1 year later. So they did. Halloween night, 1 year to the day. They got there just after dark, and right away, something felt different. The air was cold. Not like that chilly night air, but that sudden drop. But they kept going, trying to keep it light, laughing, joking. They found the grave easily. Coins scattered across the top. One of the girls reached out like she was going to touch it, but one of the guys stopped her. They stood there for a moment, and that's when they saw it. In the trees, at first it looked like a shadow, but then it shifted slowly. They all turned, and there she was, a silhouette standing just beyond the tree line, exactly like in their dreams. She was standing still, no face, no detail, just this tall, motionless figure. With long hair hanging straight down. One of them points and says, "Who is that?" They call out to her, no response. And that's when one of them whispered, "That's her." They said they got that sinking feeling in their chest, like something bad was about to happen. And then someone says, "She's getting closer." No one saw her move, but she wasn't as far back anymore. It's like she had moved forward. She was a few feet closer now. Still completely still, just watching. Finally, one of them pulls out their phone, hand shaking, and turns on the flashlight. And as soon as the beam hit the trees, she was gone. Without a sound, there was no one there, but they had all seen her. They turn back and start running for the car. And the next Halloween, they did not go back. That spooked them enough to keep them away. This group could never find an explanation as to why they all had these dreams about her. But they knew what they experienced, and they knew what they saw. I wouldn't go poking around there at night, especially on Halloween night. Are you kidding? Next up, the mysterious lights. For over two centuries, something strange has been going on. above Brown Mountain in North Carolina. Mysterious glowing lights that appear quickly without warning and disappear just as quickly. The first recorded sighting dates all the way back to 1771, when a German engineer named John William Gerard de Brahm documented unusual lights drifting over the hills in his journal. From that point on, stories of these glowing orbs began to spread, passed down through generations. Those who have witnessed them describe silent spheres of light floating and weaving over the ridges. They don't move like anything familiar. I mean, it's pretty eerie. They don't flicker like fire. Instead, they seem to drift with intention. They will hover, glide, sometimes even splitting apart or suddenly bursting into nothing. And of course, people believe this is supernatural. In 1922, the United States Ecological Society set out to explain it. They were going to find a rational cause for these lights. They studied them, and their conclusion was simple. The lights were likely car headlights or distant train activity, reflecting across the landscape. That's what they said, but for many, this explanation didn't quite fit. Not long after this, a massive flood destroyed the roads and railway lines in this area, so the road where they said these lights were coming from was destroyed, or close to it. But no cars were traveling down it. And yet, the lights continued to appear. So if these lights aren't coming from cars or trains, then where are they coming from? Over the years, countless people have tried to explain what people are seeing. But one of the oldest and most haunting theories comes from Native American legend. According to Cherokee tradition, a violent battle once took place on Brown Mountain between Cherokee warriors and a rival tribe. When the fighting ended, the women of the tribe, mothers, wives, and sisters, climbed into the mountains carrying torches, searching for the bodies of their loved ones. Some believe those lights seen today are those same torches, spirits still wandering the mountain, still searching. Even today, people are still trying to figure out where these lights are coming from. Researchers, Forest Service officers, and scientists have all reported seeing the lights firsthand. A current theory suggests that it's natural gases, or something rare like ball lightning. But none of those fully explain what witnesses describe. Because whatever these lights are, they don't just appear, they move. They react. And they keep coming back again and again. Most often in the months between September and November. I always think this is very interesting because so many people come forward seeing these mystery lights all across America. Not just here, but I think there's some in Michigan, in Arkansas. I've always been really fascinated by what these lights are because many people believe this has to be supernatural. And many of these places, there's never been a clear answer as to where they're coming from. You know, you got scientists saying, we don't know. Whatever they are, or wherever they come from, they're pretty spooky. Next up, the Flatwoods Monster of West Virginia. Our final story, easily the most disturbing of them all. This is one of the strangest encounters in Appalachian history. It was just after dusk, 7:15 p.m. on September 12, 1952, in the quiet hills of Flatwoods. Two brothers, Edward and Fred May, along with their friend Tommy Heyer, were outside when they saw it. A bright object tore across the sky, streaking overhead before disappearing behind a nearby hill on the property of a local farmer. It didn't look like a plane. It didn't move like anything they had ever seen. Panicked, they ran home. Their mother, Kathleen May, didn't brush it off. Whatever her sons had seen, she believed it was real enough to check. So gathering a small group, including a few neighborhood kids and her cousin, a West Virginia National Guardsman named Eugene Lemon, they set out towards the hill. And that's when things get really weird. By the time they reached the top, the air felt heavy. And that's when they saw it. A pulsing red light. Eugene raised his flashlight. And for a split second, something stood there in the beam. It looked like a man, but it wasn't human. It wasn't animal either. It was a towering figure, around 10 feet tall, with a glowing red face. Its head was surrounded by something almost hood-like. The figure appeared to be cloaked in its eyes, or what looked like eyes, burned with this strange greenish-orange glow. Its body appeared dark, almost shapeless. Kathleen would later say its head resembled the Ace of Spades. And then, it started moving. Not walking, or running, it started gliding towards the group. A low hissing sound filled the air as the thing drifted toward them. Eugene, the National Guardsman, dropped his flashlight. He was so freaked out, and just like that, the group turned and ran, crashing back down the hill in pure terror. And they didn't just see it, they felt it. A thick, metallic mist hung in the air. It was sharp and almost suffocating. The group said it made them sick, nauseous, dizzy, disoriented. Local authorities were notified, and a local sheriff and his deputy combed the area, responding to reports that something was out there and maybe even an aircraft had crashed nearby, but when they arrived, authorities found nothing. No signs of a crash, no wreckage or creature, no smell, sound, just silence. But this made no sense. The group knew what they saw. And the next day, something strange surfaced. A reporter from the Braxton Democrat claimed to find unusual markings in the field, what looked like skid marks. Also, a strange, sticky, gummy residue left behind in the grass. Investigators would later point to it as possible evidence of something landing there that night. Then the story completely exploded. What began as a small-town sighting became national news. Calls flooded in from across the country. Reporters traveled to Flatwoods, paranormal investigators, UFO researchers, even a minister from Brooklyn, all came searching for answers. Many investigated the case, and it has become one of the most famous cryptid encounters in American history. But the question still lingers, what did they really see on that hill? Some brush off the group's encounter, saying they must have just seen an owl. Yes, you heard me right, an owl. Some have suggested the group could have just seen a meteor. Others have said it could be mass hysteria. But many believe this was something supernatural. Whatever stood in that red glow that night didn't move like anything human. Decades later, the town has never forgotten about this encounter. In fact, the story has become a part of the town's identity, a reminder that what happened has never been fully explained, even by the local sheriff's department. These encounters always kind of convince me, I guess, in a way, because it's not one or two or even three people seeing this. This was an entire group. But the National Guardsmen. Eugene was not known to get scared easily, and this freaked him out. So to me, when there's a group all seeing the same thing, there's something going on there. I'll say it. There is something going on. I don't know what it is, but something. And them all getting so sick, clearly they were exposed to something. You know, and they're like looking at the sheriff's department like, what happened? And the sheriffs are like, well, you know, it's bad when police are like, well, we don't know what to tell you. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Next time, I've got so much more mystery coming your way. I'll see you then.